May it please the court. Mr. Stewart pled guilty in October of 2010 to being a felony persistent offender under Missouri's driving while intoxicated statutes. Having pled guilty to a felony and having been sentenced the following day, disciplinary counsel filed an information under Rule 5.21C for a final order of discipline against Mr. Stewart's law license. As is its custom, disciplinary counsel made a recommendation for sanction in its information. In this case, disciplinary counsel recommended a 3-year license suspension, stayed for a 3-year period of probation. Included with the information was a proposed probation agreement, respondent's compliance with which was to be monitored by the Office of Chief Disciplinary Counsel. In reaching its recommendation, informant looked at the ABA standards for imposing lawyer sanctions, and we also took into consideration disciplinary orders issued in drunk driving cases by this court in lawyer discipline cases in the last 5 or 6 years.
Did you find any cases in which where the respondent had 3 or 4 DWI convictions?
Yes.
And the third one, of course, is a felony that he pleaded to. So that invokes the 5-year presumption that is a disbarment with a 5-year, no leave to apply anew for 5 years. So that's the high end of the range for a felony conviction.
Under the reinstatement rule?
No, I mean, once you're disbarred, I mean, felony conviction equals disbarment, doesn't it?
Don't think so.
Okay.
Under our rules, isn't that the presumptive result of a felony conviction? Or is that, what difference does it make if it's a felony or misdemeanor in terms of our rules?
Unless I'm on a different planet, it's not ever been a black and white.
The rule requires, or the rule permits you, if there's a felony, to ask for the interim suspension.
Correct.
So that is the...
Any kind of felony, and the distinction is only certain kinds of misdemeanors allow us to seek
an interim suspension. So there's that distinction. And then what do the rules provide for conviction of a felony and discipline?
There used to be a provision in the reinstatement rule that made a distinction in the case of a felony where the lawyer is serving probation. But in the actual what sanction up front does the court impose, I'm not aware of any.
But haven't we said in case law that typically a felony conviction will merit disbarment of an attorney?
Yes.
True?
That
right. So that's kind of where we start.
Correct.
What distinguishes this from a disbarment all the way to giving him probation then?
What distinguishes this from a disbarment
like
case?
Like recommending here, we're recommending a probation. A felony.
I presume because it had been I do most of these filings, and it had been my experience that the court did not disbar in felony drunk driving cases.
The cases talk about felony, you know, that typically with a felony there'll be disbarment. Normally felonies are going to be dealing with drugs or fraud or stealing or something like that. Typically it appears that we've treated DWI cases differently. Is there a rationale? We're trying to be very consistent to the extent that's appropriate, you know, looking at individual facts. And so it seems like this kind of felony is treated differently. Is it because it does not involve the same kind of fraudulent intent in stealing, or what is the basis that...
I personally don't know why that distinction has been made in the court's thought processes. One thing that occurs to me is that, for example, in this case, there's been no client connection to the crime at all, but there doesn't have to be
a crime. And it's a victimless crime in the sense that there was no accident, no injuries, no anything else.
No leaving the scene. No.
And it also involves the condition of an addiction, which
correct.
Mental illness and addiction the court has treated differently because of that component. Would that be a correct statement?
That is true. And the respondent's willingness to acknowledge his addiction and taking positive steps to overcome that.
I want to go back just a second. When he got his first, second, and third convictions, was there any discipline employed by the OCDC?
To my knowledge, we were not aware of any of the prior convictions.
And are you typically aware of these, or is it the respondent's duty to inform OCDC,
we don't,
or how do you keep track of these?
We don't have a real express reporting requirement in our rules. Some states do. Typically, when we find out about a first-time DWI, which is a misdemeanor typically, it's a self-report. Now, occasionally a court will write in, or we'll even get an anonymous notification.
But this was not reported on the first three violations, only on the fourth.
Correct.
But there's no express obligation? Is that typical, or is there for a felony an obligation?
Not expressly in our rules.
Hmm. So is that an aggravating circumstance that the respondent took no steps to inform after even the third DWI?
I wish it were, but it never has been.
You mentioned the ABA standards, and it's all evolving with drug courts, the excellent drug courts, and all the different interventions and things we have, and we become more enlightened about drug and addiction, and et cetera, as courts. How's the rest of the United States handle these kind of cases? Can you give us some sense how many states would give probation or suspension on just one prior violation? You had one other disciplinary issue. How many states would treat it this way versus?
I couldn't give you a number. It's my sense that the first DWI is typically a misdemeanor as opposed to a felony.
How many states disbar automatically on a felony versus
New York, to my knowledge. New York, to my knowledge, is the only state, and it disbars. They don't even go through an administrative procedure. It's automatic. As soon as the lawyer is convicted of a felony, he no longer has.
We used to do that, and I filed it in my. I was out of sync.
Well, we had the Belts case where the fellow, got involved with $175,000 or so of his client's money, and he self-reported, and I think we said 3 years suspension, not disbarment. But 3 years suspension was there.
He raised his addiction as a mitigating factor.
That had to do with taking client money from a trust account.
Right.
And that was client involvement.
But back to this case, you all issued an admonition in April of 2009. Meanwhile, pending was his fourth DWI. You entered an admonition for... was related to diligence and communications violations.
Mm-hmm.
Then how did you learn that there was a fourth DWI in the
I went back and I tried to keep a pretty organized file, and I could not figure out how this originally came to our attention. I don't have a letter or anything.
So we don't know he self-reported that.
I don't believe that he did, but I just do not know.
How will you monitor him on probation? I'm sorry.
That's okay. I guess what I'm concerned with is, you know, the public's perception of our profession.
Absolutely.
That we allow people with not one, not two, not three, but four DWIs to continue to practice. There's no suspension. His all state. He continues to continue his work.
Right.
What's the confidence in the public? Is this the right message we want to send to the public?
All I can answer that with Judge Russell is that the two 2009 cases involving multiple felonies and the office recommended disbarment in both of those cases, And in both of those cases, the lawyers got state suspensions.
Those were in different fact situations.
They're all
felonies
different
entirely.
Fact situations. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What are the monitoring provisions of the probation?
Well, they were included with the information we filed. You're subject to random drug and alcohol analysis tests. You have to get a report from a healthcare professional within the first X number of days to give to the probation monitor. You have to report any change in your life that would raise a flag of concern. He is already under his criminal probation. He's not allowed to drive. He has to attend AA meetings, and he has to report compliance with all of that sort of thing to our office.
So I take it you think the felonies were caused by his drinking, and he seems to be on a path to control the drinking. I assume if he was not undertaking this kind of remedial conduct, you would not recommend
absolutely. And as if the state had not given him a state suspension with probation, that's not what we would have recommended as well.
What were the two prior cases in 2009 that you referenced? Can you give us the facts, a comparison?
They were diligence and communication, I believe. I don't think it was at all related to drunk driving.
Well, they're affecting clients. Diligence and the communication.
That 2009 admonition did, yes. But he's a 28-year practitioner, and one admonition in 28 years is not too bad.
Did you indicate at the beginning of your argument that you had looked at the instances in which we had had felony drunk driving convictions for lawyers?
Yes.
And what did those reveal? Can you tell us what you had on that?
I made a little chart. And I do discuss them in the brief. There were two cases in which the court issued orders in 2009. One involved a second-degree assault Class C felony, and we recommended disbarment, and he got a one-year state suspension with 1 year's probation.
I'm sorry, is that a DWI?
Assault. The assault was an accident.
Yes, running into another car and causing injuries to the people in the other car. That's SC 90235.
And that was a single DWI, is that correct?
It's second degree assault, Class C felony, so he actually wasn't convicted of drunk driving, but I know he had had a history of alcoholism.
But maybe not potentially DWIs.
True. The other one that we recommended disbarment for...
And actually, I'm going to correct you, because my recollection is that was a case where this all occurred the day he was supposed to get married, and his girlfriend called it off. And so there were other, and it wasn't a case of a
that's
long
the next
history.
One.
Oh, that's the next one.
Yeah, that's SC 89822. And it was the accident happened in Kansas. He left the scene of the accident. I think subsequent to that, after the Missouri discipline case had gone through the pipeline, Kansas Supreme Court did suspend Mr. Fromm, I believe.
Yeah, his was a misdemeanor DWI. The only felonies he pled guilty to involved the batteries because there was alcohol involved, though, right?
True.
It was a misdemeanor DWI, and the prior one was also a misdemeanor DWI. So this is the only felony DWI case since I've been on the court, as I recall.
But they involved other felonies, both these.
Did you have any other felony DWI cases that you found?
Where they were not disbarred?
Either way, any sanction.
Okay. There was one back in 2005 where the fella had two prior DWIs and a Class D felony, and he was sentenced and given probation, but then it was revoked because he drank while he was on probation, and he was suspended with no leave to apply until the Department of Corrections released him from his criminal probation, and until he could show the court evidence of recovery for a meaningful and sustained period of rehabilitation. Now, that's an example of where special conditions were attached to the order of discipline. We had one in 07 where it was all misdemeanors, misdemeanor possession of paraphernalia at the time of the stop, two misdemeanor Kansas City DUIs, and leaving the scene of the accident. He received a two-year state suspension during a period of probation, and we had recommended that.
Now, haven't we in the past that the criminal violation, probation, whatever, go first and then we would add on it? For example, the Mike Core case, where I think the criminal case went on and is probably, then we added on the discipline after that. Wasn't that customary in the past? You let the criminal case go on, you finish that, then we add the discipline, not coextensive with the criminal discipline?
All arising out of the same activity.
Right.
For example, a car wreck, assault, and then also DWI.
Well, in the case of Mike Corey, it was manslaughter and killed someone.
Oh. Yeah, that was way back. That was before I started at the office.
It was also back when we had the automatic disbarment for a felony conviction.
Okay.
Irrespective of circumstances. I mean, the real difference between this fellow's fourth offense and his third offense is that after you get three, you get upgraded.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same offense. But what's disturbing is, of course, that you have that repetitive conduct, and I assume, as I guess he said, that there's no complaint about the way he practices law. I'm finding that a little bit difficult, but his clients are happy with him.
As far as we know.
But still, the problem is he's got a problem, and you've indicated he's dealing with it as part of his probation on the criminal offense.
Yes.
Now, he did 60 days in the Platte County Jail.
Yes.
So is he in treatment? Is he in AA something?
He is. It's my understanding, I talked to him Friday, that the frequency with which he had been required to attend meetings and go to therapy is decreasing now because some time has passed.
Has
but yes.
it been over, I think at some point in the brief it said 20 months or 22 months. Now
I think
it would be
so.
Something like that.
Now, I believe when he was initially released after shock time, he was on a SCRAM bracelet for a period of time. He's no longer on a SCRAM bracelet, is he?
I don't believe so, but I can't recall.
Have
that.
We ever asked anybody to wear a SCRAM bracelet?
No, we had, I remember a case where the lawyer was wearing one. That was part of the case, but it wasn't this court's order as part of the discipline.
He's still not permitted to drive by his criminal probation?
Correct. It's a term of the criminal probation that he not drive.
Does it take a license like for 10 years after?
I think he's used up all his shit.
And if he drives now, he's driving without a license, but they
Correct.
Do that too.
Are there any further questions? Now the case is taken under submission.